What's going on, everybody? This is the Microsoft Recap, and this is your host, Michael Baker. And I got my man with me, Mike Bennett? I'm about to call you Mike Baker.
I mean, we're definitely not the same person, but we have some.
I got like four Mikes in my family, and we all named Mike Baker, so it's a crazy
situation. Oh, wow.
I mean, my uncle, my cousin, and his son.
You know
what
I mean? I actually was a part of a Facebook group back in the day called The Wonderful World of Michael Bennett. So it was like 500 of us.
Yeah. I mean, that Michael name, man. Matter of fact, bro, I'm gonna tell you this one offline. But I did email somebody that had your exact name. You know, the wrong person, but he emailed me back like, yo, I think you meant to send this to somebody else. I was like, yo, thanks, bro.
This is Mike Bennett, number 56.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, what's going on, everybody? This is the Microsoft Recap, and as always, it's your host. Today we're going to be talking about a couple of topics with Microsoft. First topic we're going to be talking about is Microsoft's tracking prevention that Google is going to be hit the hardest with their new web browser. If you don't know already, in the next, I think January, they're actually going to come out with it. Microsoft Edge is changing up. If you all remember Microsoft Internet Explorer, most people just remember Internet Explorer. Like even now when they click on Edge, they just think it's Internet Explorer. They don't know the difference. And if they do know the difference, they decided to move over to Chrome. But like, I mean, that's the
facts. Yeah.
But it got to the point where Microsoft basically has decided to revamp their Microsoft Edge browser, and they are cloning. They're taking a clone of Google Chrome, what they call Chromium in the open source world. So Chrome is there's Chrome, there's Microsoft Chrome, there's Google Chrome, and then there's Google Chromium, which is like stripped down white label Chrome that anybody can take and create their own version of the web browser with. And Microsoft, and because Chrome has gotten so popular and so capable, Microsoft just went ahead and decided that they're going to make their new version of the Edge browser out of Chrome. So essentially, Edge is a version of Chrome.
Yeah, so it's Microsoft Chrome.
Yeah, it's just Microsoft Chrome. It's basically Microsoft Chrome. They just rebranding it, calling it Edge, and they can, because it's open source, they can modify it the way that they want to appeal to them. But nonetheless, it's still under the hood, basically Chrome. And with that, because it's Chrome, they have all these functionalities and features that they can build in. And one of the features that they're building in is privacy features, being able to hide tracking so that websites can't necessarily track you from site to site. They can probably track you from when you're on that site, but not once you leave that site and go to all these other sites and bounce around. I work in the web field, so tracking is definitely a big issue with us and being able to deal with monitoring activity on our various clients' websites. But in general, when you go to a website, like if you go to Facebook, if anybody uses Facebook, if you already know this, like if you usually you'll have like 10, 20 tabs open, and one of those tabs will be Chrome, will be Facebook in one of those tabs. If you're signed into Facebook on one of those tabs, or even if you close Facebook without signing out, if you didn't sign out of Facebook, it still will leave the tracking open. And when you start searching on all these other sites, if you see like one icon that comes from Facebook, if you see like the like icon that literally comes from Facebook, then more than likely you're being tracked. Right. They're tracking what site you're reading, what site you're going to, so that they can pull that information back into Facebook to better sell you ads. And the same thing is really happening with Google.
More with Google, because Google, they have a lot more, I think they own a lot more of the market share for just online advertising than I think Google.
Google has, I want to say Google has 30-40% of the advertising business, but it's also like 80% of their business. Wow. So most of the money that Google makes off of anything is basically an advertisement and being able to track people and monitor people. And part of that is the advertisement business. Like in order for in order for like news organizations and whatnot to be able to make money, they have to be able to place advertisements on their website. And Google was one of the first companies and the best, one of the best companies to do it. They actually bought out one of the best companies, which was like DoubleClick, but they basically offer advertisement systems for people, for organizations to be able to have like news sites. So example would be like The Verge or ZDNet, like this article that we're on. They have a Verizon advertisement on their page. More than likely that Verizon advertisement, even though it is Verizon, it's coming from like a Google server that and Google is tracking who the person is and how they actually search so that they know what type of advertisement to give to that person on somebody else's website. And with Edge, with Microsoft Edge, Microsoft and their new browser.
Well, I say Microsoft Chrome, I mean Microsoft Edge.
Yeah, with Microsoft Chrome, they basically are shutting people out with that feature. They're going to make it so that once you, if you're on a site, you're restricted on that site. It's a functional piece of code in website when you're building sites where you can actually restrict outside sources. So if something didn't come from that website that you're on, if it didn't come from that site, then it's not allowed to be able to do anything on that site. And they're building that into the browsers, and that basically eats at companies like Google and Facebook, because those two companies and even Amazon, because Amazon makes a lot of money off of advertising because their whole business is retail and they're jumping into the advertising business more. But like if you're going to be using Microsoft Chrome or Microsoft Edge, they'll basically be able to lock it down. They have like three different styles of doing it. It was like a balanced version, a light version, and then a real strict version, where you'll be able to lock it down so that people can't track you.
So nothing can, yeah, it's just you browsing and that's it.
Yeah. And no ads will be able to, like, even if the ads are able to come through, they can't really identify who you are from anybody else because it's restricted to you searching on that site. It's like a double-edged sword. So it could potentially be good for ZDNet, for like companies like ZDNet or The Verge, because they'll have to take advertisement back into their own hands a little bit more, which means that they'll have to do a little bit more work, but they still get a little bit more benefit in the long run. And it takes the power out of companies' hands like Facebook and Google. I keep saying Facebook number one because I don't know, I got my thing against them. But Google as well, like they will definitely make it harder for them to actually make that type of money because they're not ZDNet. They're right. an affiliate of ZDNet providing you advertisements.
And then with Facebook, see, with a lot of these, with the platforms, Facebook and Google, they thrive, their advertising, why they're able to make so much is like you were pointing out here, is they're able to target and know exactly, not just like pinpointing where people are, but then being able to like understand what their interests are, right? That's what makes the advertising so effective. And
that's what makes,
like you said, that's what makes, because they're able to speak to that person's heart. They're able to speak that person's language. Mm-hmm. So when you're introducing something like Microsoft, the new version of Microsoft Edge, it makes you like wonder if people start, you know, everyone finds to some degree finds advertising irritable, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that most of the times, like you really don't like it. Sometimes you do, you know, when it's a really good ad, right? I mean, it just goes to show that somebody's doing something right when it comes to advertising. But most of the time, you don't really like to get ads. So the thing is,
there was an ad. There was a whole market going on earlier the other day. My bad, I don't mean to interrupt, but there was something going on earlier the other day. I posted it on social media. There was this ad. What was this whole market? It was a marketing campaign. It had nothing to do with advertisement in itself, but I mean, in itself, being a good marketing campaign is going to basically do the advertising job, where, what was it? Netflix had posted out something on Twitter talking about, what can you say as a brand? What can you say about sex that you can also say as a brand Twitter account? I mean, and then all these other companies started coming out saying like, what type of ad, like just coming up with different things that they can say about sex, but they can also say about their company. So it's like Wendy's is coming out talking about like just weird things. I might post an article in a note so that they can see it. But like,
yeah,
it
was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Like all these different like companies coming out of the woodworks, just trying to retweet back to Netflix like their version of what they say, and it was engaging. It brought the people in, and you know, more than likely these people are going to remember these companies when it's time to go like spend their money, because they'd be right. Like, oh yeah, those guys are hilarious. I don't even care.
Content marketing, where it's not necessarily paid ads where you're paying to track somebody, but you're putting stuff out there to create what you call, like, you're taking up like space, creating digital real estate.
Yeah, I mean, they built engagement. Like they had, because you know, they tweeted back to each other, and then people hopped in on the tweets and started laughing and cracking up and resharing and retweeting and taking screenshots and all of this stuff. And I mean, you basically did the job, because nobody's really taking a picture of a news ad, a 30-second news spot, but they definitely took pictures and retweeted and reshared this. I mean, like, and if they didn't like the brand before, when depending on how that tweet went, they liked the brand after. I mean, and like that's really just it's generalized, it's traditional marketing, it's just smart thinking. And it's outside of the old ad concept, because, I mean, regulations are coming and they're going to be locking down everybody. And companies like Microsoft are just basically getting ahead of the game by just locking things down anyway. Yeah. And they know that's their competition. Microsoft is competition to Google, their competition to Facebook. So screw them.
Right. Basically. I mean, it goes with, I see what maybe they got a little bit of was, I guess, a counter from what Gary Vee was talking about as far as the industry goes. He says that when a platform first starts up, it's like the greatest thing, right? It's fresh, whatever the case is. He says that marketers, advertisers ruin every platform. So I was with email, right? Everybody, you know, we use email at a point in time, everybody opened emails. Now that everybody's advertising, like, no one really opens emails. You know, Facebook was a new thing. You know what I mean? Everybody was on it. Now that you're able to advertise, now it just becomes more of like a, you know, it's kind of like a checklist thing, right? So I think with Microsoft going this route, I don't know. It's interesting to see what comes of this, because, you know, from a consumer standpoint, if they're able to access something that blocks them, you know, they're able to browse in peace. I wonder what that would do to, you know, corporations that are looking to make money from advertising. So it's interesting to see where this goes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even companies like Google, the owners of Google didn't originally even want to get into advertising. Yeah. Like when they first started it, like Larry Page and Sergey Brin, like when they first talked about it, they turned down the opportunity to get into advertising back in like 99 or whatever. But then the dot-com bubble burst and they started all losing money. And then when you start losing money, that's when you start running around looking for money ideas. Right. And sitting right there was the advertisement idea. They were like, they originally didn't want to get into it because they could see what it could potentially do. Because when you know about technology and you're able to do like mathematical calculations on statistics, you can look ahead in the future. Right. So like they were able to see the potential for it. And they were like, yeah, we want to try to do another business model because that's too intrusive. But then when that money started sliding, they were like, well, we need to come up with a money game.
We need to consider intruding a little bit.
Yeah, we need to consider our options. I mean, do we want to be broke? do you like being broke? I think I'd rather be 100 billionaire. I mean, like, I'll be all right. I'll take my money and run when it start getting hot, which is what they basically did. That's basically what they did.
Classic.
Yeah, I mean, let's go to this new article. This Slack accuses Microsoft of ripping off its ads.
We're going ads again.
Yeah. And this is a little different. There was an ad that Slack did. I actually saw the Slack one. I didn't see that they posted a Microsoft one. But basically, Slack is the it's a larger issue beyond the ads. So Slack had this ad. It was like a weird balls rolling around, forming like some Slack logo ultimately. But they're just rolling around the ground. It's like CGI and all the stuff. And then Microsoft apparently a couple months later essentially pushed out their advertisement, which is doing the same thing. Basically, it's like balls rolling around doing something and it creates this Teams logo or whatever the fuck.
It's called stealing like an artist.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everybody loves Warhol. Yeah, I mean, but like, don't nobody remember Basquiat for real. But I mean, now they do. But like, I mean, untold stories. That's a whole nother issue. But I mean, like they the larger issue is that Slack is really, I mean, they're losing market share because Microsoft has this new Teams platform and it's eating their lunch. And part of eating their lunch means also trying to go after the same market. Like they're going after the same market, but Slack is kind of, they kind of like mad about the fact that if you're going to go after the same market, you're going to come up with the same similar style of software, and you're going to just hit us all the way around by just creating all the same type of ads. Like you might as well just buy us out or some shit.
I mean, I think it's slightly, you know, they, of course, their company is filling it with, you know, we did the article before about how Microsoft Teams is pretty much just taking over. They've come in and taken Slack's spot. So it's kind of like, you know, Slack is on the, you know, fighting the clown to get back to where they're at. And then, like, I guess as like a, you know, to insult to injury, Microsoft goes and, you know, they don't, not cop, they model what Slack did, you know, and they kind of like, come on, man. You know,
I mean, Slack started feeling themselves too much. And that's what a lot of these companies, like, when they go public and get those $1 billion valuations type thing, like they start feeling themselves, and you got to figure out what they're going to do after they felt themselves. Like in this case, Slack had got all this profit and they really didn't change themselves from being this one trick pony. Yeah. I mean, they improved the pony. Yeah. I mean, they put more ring bells and whistles on the pony. I mean, but they didn't diversify what they have skill sets in doing. They didn't change it up at all. I mean, and here comes Microsoft with all these different systems, all these different softwares and services that they offer. And they're like, yo, we need something else because we need to make more money. What else can we do? We could eat somebody else smaller. Like it's the lunchroom concept. You know what I mean? I'm hungry. Let me go eat the smallest dude's lunch. You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
get some cornbread, man.
Yeah, give me cornbread. What do you think? Cocktail fruit. Yeah, I mean, let me get your cocktail. I mean, like, it's this jailhouse rules. I mean, and that's basically what this is. Like, Slack, if you don't, like, step up. I mean, y'all got, they pushed this whole concept with chatbots and artificial intelligence, and that was cool, but they never did anything more with it besides put it in the chat system.
They never innovated, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, they got all this money, but they didn't spread it out in any new investments or anything, and now Microsoft being a larger company, somebody was going to eat at them. It just happens to be that it's Microsoft first.
To be the big Titan company, Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I see what they're doing down there. And that looks like a good idea.
Because they already bought out Slack. Yeah, I mean, Facebook got the messages system, and they kind of eat their lunch too. So it's not like it's just Microsoft. Facebook eating their lunch. Microsoft eating their lunch. Apple's eating their lunch with iMessages.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, Google is, they got Hangouts. And, like, if you use G Suite and you really use G Suite and you use Hangouts, and, I mean, that it does their job, but they actually trying to reinvent something that is similar to Slack with, like, a new version of Hangouts. So, like, they're even making their attempts. Slack isn't trying to do anything besides be great at the one thing that they're great at.
They're conceding defeat, man. That's what it is. It's one of those things where you're fighting. At this point, they're fighting for respect, but they know the wars. The battles are lost, man.
Yeah, exactly. Lost. And, I mean, and even with this tweet that they put out with the advertisement, it's called OK Boomer. And it's based on the ad that they put out back in April. And they're playing like kid games, like, okay, boomer, y'all coming out with this Teams thing, trying to be just like us with the Slack thing. And it's like, yo, you better stop playing. Cause they will eat y'all and y'all like however many hundred company employees y'all think y'all got, how many thousand, y'all will be spread out amongst all the other companies real soon if y'all don't act right. I mean, Microsoft will just buy out employees, buy out technologies. Facebook will come in and buy in a couple of technologies, and Apple and Microsoft and Google will buy out the rest. And next thing you know, y'all got y'all money, but y'all ain't got no company no more. Yeah, I mean, like they got.
It's called a gentleman's loss, where you're not really knocked out. It's not really like they beat into a pulp so much they're unconscious. It's like you got beat on the card, son.
you know. I mean, and unless the idea is to back out. I mean, if the idea is to just back out, then do it gloriously. Yeah, I mean, take your money, Yeah, I mean, do your fight, do your dance. Don't go out like a punk, go out like a champ. Yeah, I mean, and just do your bob and weave, right. But you know you're gonna go down. You got to know you might go down. Yeah. I mean, and just handle it like that. But like I said, doing that one thing that they're doing, the one chat service, is a great system, and a lot of people using it, and people are actually paying to use it, which is the weird thing. You know, people don't really pay a lot for software, but people will stop paying it if they find something better.
For sure,
and they working on their way to finding something better.
It takes a long time, not a long time. It takes an extended period of time for something to grow on a person, but change can happen instantly.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All you gotta do is take the attempt to try to find something else. And then when you do find something else, all it takes is that one thing to pull you in.
MySpace was on for a little bit, and then once Facebook was like, everybody get public accounts, MySpace.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, everybody's still waiting for Tom. I mean, all Tom is now is a meme. I mean, now you're gonna say that because he still got hundreds of millions somewhere chilling. I mean, but for the most part on Facebook, he's just a meme. Like, we all had this one friend and your name Tom. I mean, shit, everybody know that one picture.
A distant memory, man.
let's go to this last and final article. We got Microsoft found 44 million accounts being used. Using breached passwords. 44 million accounts using breached passwords.
Now this is news right here.
Yeah. This broke on December 6th. So that was like yesterday or something. Friday afternoon. Friday morning. This is pretty major. It's pretty obvious though. Like, I pretty much you can assume that this is the case. Everybody knows that this is the case because everybody uses simple passwords, and that's kind of a problem. Like, if you're in the industry or if you just know better, you know to use something complex and use something like detailed, but most people don't have the time for that. And because they don't have the time for that, 44 obviously 44 million people don't have the time for that, admit. Yeah, I mean, and because in this case, so Microsoft has, you know, when you sign up with using Windows, you basically create a account. And with Windows 10, as a Windows 10, you can use your online account. So like if you had an MSN account, if you had a Outlook.com account, if you had a Live, a Hotmail.
They rebranded a lot of times.
Yeah, that's the fourth one is Outlook.com. Yeah, I mean, definitely bought all these different domains. But like, if you have one of those accounts, you could synchronize that account to your Windows computer and like use OneDrive and all this stuff where everything syncs into the cloud for Office 365 and all of this stuff for this whole One Life thing that they're pushing out. If you and when you do synchronize that login, they do get a copy of your password. It's an encrypted copy, but they still get a copy of your password in a way. And they were able to bounce stack the copy of your password. They were able to compare it against these public listed databases of already exposed passwords. So because all these other companies, there's a whole bunch of companies that have already been hacked and your password's already been out there. They've took those databases and compared it to all their users, and they were able to see that 44 million of their users are using breached passwords that people have already used before that have been exposed to the public. I mean, so if you already use one of those passwords, ideally your main job should be to go ahead and change that password. Ideally, what I would say, what I try to tell my coworkers all the time, I'll send them like staff emails every 2 to 3 months. Check out a site called haveibeenpwned.com. It's basically haveibeenowned.com. Yeah, but it's have I been pwned. Yeah, man. And the whole point of it is just to see, like, they have the public records of all the major companies that have had data breaches. So like if it's Adobe, if it's Yahoo, because Yahoo had a major breach a while back, and Sony had a breach. All these companies have had breaches.
Who do you think is doing these breaches? This is a side note. Like, that's what I'm just interested, because it's like, I mean, of course you get access to people's, you know, like day-to-day information, but it's kind of like, for this to constantly keep happening? Is like, is it like the same group of people? It makes you think.
Nah, it's rarely the same people. Usually there's the one-off cases that is actually somebody that works in the office, that rarely can, like, you know, somebody's doing some type of espionage, like counter business intelligence or whatever. But usually it is somebody that just got hacked through some type of social engineering, like, other countries, I would say other countries, you know, the countries that don't have the same regulations that we have when it comes to hacking and cybersecurity, like a lot of Middle Eastern, like Iran, Iran in particular, they don't have a lot of issues when it comes to cybersecurity, like prevention, regulation. Like if somebody gets caught hacking, they probably just cut their fingers off.
That's just how they do it. It prevents him or her, but it doesn't prevent like the
because more importantly is that they gotta be able to make money, and they out there surviving. And if they can hack somebody and get some information to get somebody credit card, to get somebody social, to be able to order something to be able to ship over to them in some form of fashion, or be able to ship to somebody else, or be able to like get somebody's Bitcoin account and trade off coins, or any, like credit card, like your bank statement that transfer money. If they can get access to any of that stuff, like it's more important than getting my fingers chopped off. You know what I mean, like if I can make it, if I made it, I made it. I saved my fingers today. I mean, and that's the same way with any criminal entity. Like, I mean, like it's not that many criminals
today,
that
my thumbs today is you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that many criminals that's out here that's being criminals just to be criminals. There's some that are. Yeah, I mean, most criminals are out here because they're trying to survive, and then that's the thing that they learn.
Criminals with intent.
In that scenario, like, you know, Ukraine, Russia, you know, they got their own disputes going on. Can't really say who's doing what, but you know for a fact that Russia doesn't have the same leniency for cybersecurity. Usually if they find somebody that is dealing in cybersecurity, they usually recruit them and make them be a part of the organization. And it's not like we're recruiting you, we're going to give you $100,000 job. It's like, we're recruiting you, we're going to give you like $20,000, and you have no choice because it's either that or we put you in jail for the things you did. In some cases it's probably like that in America too, but it's probably more cordial, more political. Yeah, I mean, like we do a little bit more tech savvy. We more savvy about it. I mean, when we screw people over, you know, we do it politely. Yeah, I mean, but like
a gentleman.
Yeah, exactly. But like the fact that they actually let this be known is kind of a good thing, because at the end of the day, really didn't have to say this, because it's not Microsoft getting hacked. It's the fact that they're letting their users know that they're vulnerable. They used their passwords before in too many locations, and at some point it got exposed, and we know that it's exposed, and we letting y'all know. We're not telling you. I don't know if they actually emailed everybody and let them know
exposed.
Like, yeah, your password's out on the open internet, you should change it. I mean, like, they should have probably did that, but like this is more of like a general announcement. Hey, clean up your hacks.
It makes you think of like how passwords will be. So yeah, man. You know, jumping ahead, man, with this whole like how people are doing security, what they tell us how security is going to be with like biometrics and stuff like that. This makes it more like this is the natural progression, right? Like we get to a certain point where it's a certain level of security that may have worked, but as technology grows and people with malice intent start to, you know, show their head more, like security needs to be increase, you know. And I think in the article it actually talks about how basically what I get from what they're talking about is that a lot of this stuff is happening because people are lazy. Like they don't use multi-factor authentication, and they said that 99.9% of the identity attacks are thwarted by turning on MFA, you know, by turning on multi-factor. So it just goes to show what for that 44 mil that was, that, you know, with they stuff out there. You know, it's 44 mil that just didn't want to put in, you know, their cell phone or some other email for them to get like verified or something like that.
Yeah. So, and I mean, and it's the double-edged sword of like, why, you know, some people are like, why I gotta give Microsoft my phone number? And at the same time, it's like, you want to be more secure, right? Because it's more than just you that may be trying to get into your account. And it's kind of, I mean, it's a different world. It's a different way of thinking because, like, you know, back in the day, you didn't have to have that sense of paranoia that some random person from a whole nother country is going to be able to get into your house. I mean, it was just basically the people in your neighborhood. I mean, it's like somebody break into my house. But in this case, you have a digital house. You have a digital investment. You have, like, digital property. And essentially, when it's online, that means it's accessible to anybody in the world if they got the right key. And yeah, and like the key keeps changing. The key has to keep getting updated. It can't be like that simple, like three pivot key that you got that got like three notches in it. You gotta, like, technically, if a key, if your password was a physical key, it'd probably be like this long. I mean, it'd be like long as a foot, and it got like 100 notches in it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it just got to be like, that's sort of what it has to be nowadays. And yeah, they try to make it simpler with, like, they try to make the two-factor system where you can have a simple password, but then something else happens also where it's like authorization authentication is what they call it. It's like you have the authority to do something, but then you authenticate yourself as the person that has the authority to do something.
Yeah,
I mean, so it's like a two-part, and they, like, this one says multi-factor, and they started off with like two-factor, but multi-factor just means like however many factors of authentication. But I mean, you know, cell phones are advanced with the technology because they got the fingerprint reader, and iPhones have the screen detect, I mean, has the face unlock, but they don't incorporate those in other systems. Like,
yeah.
I still haven't seen Apple decide to come out with a face unlock for yourself, for your laptop, or for your iMac. Microsoft still hasn't come out with a face unlock for, well, they do. They come out with these face unlocks, but they be stupid face unlocks. Like, they know... They know the face unlocks don't work. I mean, they know that you can just hold a picture up to it and it'd be like, it's going to get you. And they'd be like, anyway, yeah, don't worry about that.
That's one thing you got to applaud Apple for, man. Like, I know we were,
yeah.
You know, at least they kind of got that. I remember when I was setting mine up, I had to twirl my face around a couple of times.
Yeah, you got to do the whole rock your hand around. Like, just hold that thing up, be like, let me in. I mean, you take a Polaroid real quick.
Right.
You take one cell phone, hold it up, take a picture, hold it up to the other cell phone, get yourself in, and you're done. You steal somebody's picture off of Facebook, you in there. Like, that, they knew that didn't work. So, I mean, I don't know why they try to implement those in like these modern computers. They need to really just be putting in these real systems in there. But with that, I mean, it's just regulations as well, because they got to be able to get the okay in some type of terms of service that says we're going to collect the way your face looks. Yeah, I mean, we're going to collect the data that says what your face looks like, and we're going to store it in a server somewhere. And then it's like, well, what are you doing with my face? And like, and those be the real regulations that be coming up out of nowhere. Like, well, what are you doing with my face? Can you do anything else with my face? Are you selling my face to, like, what we were talking about with Google? With Google and using the
deep fake systems,
like using the Google's team was protesting because they were using the face detection for immigration and whatnot and customs. Like, if you thought you were legally, you know, you're just freely, all right, say you're a citizen, you're just a regular citizen, you freely just using a computer, and then you use your face unlocked, and then that means Microsoft has a copy of what your face looks like in 3D. Now, can the government, can police enforcement come and get a copy of your face in 3D? Because now you're a criminal and you're on the run. I mean, like, out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, wow. Or can somebody get a copy of your face just to see what it looks like? Say, what type of skin, like, issues does this person have for, like, health purposes? Like, oh, he looked like he got blotches on his skin. We should try to sell him some skin ointment. I mean, like, what can you do with your face? Like, that becomes a thing. What can you do with your fingerprint? That becomes a thing. So, like,
that's real.
Yeah. That's an important factor when it comes to password management. And, like, we need to get through the regulations so that we can have biometrics in a normal form. Mm. And, like, at that point, you know, they got to steal your face. Like, right. If your girl start molding your face, yeah, I mean, with like some clay whatever, and try to get an imprint of what your face looked like so they can bring it to your phone, you know that she probably ain't the one.
Well, this is the thing, bro. It gets a little freaky because I know it's a couple times where I didn't all the way look at my camera and it's still unlocked.
It's because
like this. Cause it was like, he must want to open this.
Yeah, because it's three dimensional. Yeah, you know what I mean? So because they get in a 3D layout of your face. So no matter what geometry is, if they got your cheek and your eye and your inner lining and all that, then that matches up. That's a password. I mean, that lining, the way that is shaped and all that, that's part of the password. If that matches up, then hey, we letting them in. I mean, and like that's how that shit is for real. But it's a pro and a con to it because yeah, you can just be like, ha, I got in.
Yeah.
I mean, hold it up to their face. I'm in. Now I can do whatever.
Now I can see
like that it's a requirement. With iPhone, they require you to have your eyes open for the new Pixel 4. There was an issue where people were able to unlock the phones without having your eyes open. Yeah, so like literally somebody can just
hold it right, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yo, like if you're gonna do this, do it. Yeah, you know I mean, don't be making this all simple, making it all defective and shit, trying to sell it. And that's the reason
they be just say that you got it, man.
Yeah, just to sell it. They just want to say they got it. We number one too. Wow. I mean, like it can only be one. But yeah, man, that's just be the issue with it. We're gonna probably see this happening continuously or down the line for like at least the next 5 years. I think by 2025 it'd be finalized.
They'll have it set. Like, okay, this is what the
it'll be finalized by then because they'll have all the regulations in place. Once they say the okay, they probably build in the software now so that it does it. They just not releasing it yet until the regulations are in place. I mean, once the regulations are in place, you're gonna be like, oh yeah, they coming out with this, they coming out with that, they coming out with this, and all for security's sake. But they gotta have those regulations in place.
For sure.
All right, so I think that's the basic wrap up, man. That's I think that's it for the Microsoft recap.
Yeah, you did pretty good chopping that up, man.
Yeah, man. If y'all like the show, y'all need to go ahead and do the damn thing. It's the like button down below. It's the share button down below. It's the comments and, you know, subscribe if you see the feed on there. If you're listening to us on any of your podcasts or if you're watching the videos, we're posting videos, but I haven't really checked the stats on any videos yet. But if you're watching a video, go ahead and subscribe to the videos as well. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate your service. And we shall get back to you right here.
Very, very soon.
Adios, amigos.
All right, you guys, take care, man. Got more coming your way.